vibration is transferred to the three bony ossicles, the malleus, incus, and stapes. It's connected to the cochlea, and that's going to cause something to happen in the cochlea that's going to cause a signal to go via the auditory nerve to the brain, and that is how we hear. Now, what we're going to talk about is what happens in the process of moving that sound, transferring the sound, is what happens in the process, and later on, we're going to let that sound transfer the sound. What happens? So let's get into some more detail. So here we're looking at a structure. So let's get into some more detail. And we have the up until the tympanic membrane or the eardrum as the outer ear. Then we have this section here with the malleus, incus, and stapes, the eustachian tube. This is called the middle ear. Here's my writing there. And then we have with the cochlea, the semicircular canals and the nerves and so on, that's called the inner ear. And we're going to be talking about the process of sound being transferred from the outer and middle ear to the inner ear. Now here's the deal. In the external auditory canal, that's in here, we have ear. In the eustachian tube, that's in here, we have ear once again. However, inside the cochlea, we don't have ear, we actually have fluid. Now because of that, it's going to be harder to get the fluid inside the cochlea to vibrate than it is to get the air inside the middle ear and inside the outer ear to vibrate. Think about it this way. If you're running in air, which when you're running, you're usually running in air, that is not as hard as if you're trying to run in water. So in order for us to have the same strength of signal out here and in the cochlea, in the fluid inside the cochlea, something needs to happen. And that process is called impedance matching. Impedance is basically resistance. And we're trying to match the amount of resistance here to the amount of resistance here. We want the same signal in the fluid in the cochlea that we have in the ear inside the outer ear. And this can sound a little confusing because sometimes I'm referring to air and sometimes I'm referring to the ear. All right, but what we're basically saying is when the signal comes here and causes the tympanic membrane to vibrate, we want the signal to be transferred with the same amount of strength to that fluid inside the cochlea. So we have to go through this process of impedance matching. And there are two ways that impedance matching is accomplished. Let's look at the first way. Here we have the three bony ossicles, the malleus, the incus, and the stapes that's attached to the oval window here. Now, I'm going to draw the malleus, incus, and stapes over here in a very simple way. So let's say this is the malleus, this is the incus, and this is the stapes. Now, it makes sense that if this vibrates back and forth, so let's say it's going back and forth, that's going to cause, this is the malleus, that's going to cause the incus to vibrate back and forth. And then that's going to cause the stapes also to vibrate back and forth. However, because of the way these are connected and the hinges that we have between these three bones, I'm not necessarily going to get the same amount of movement here as I get here. I can orchestrate this in a way that when this moves, These are connected so that this will move even more than this is moving. It'll move a greater distance. And this is exactly how the malleus, incus, and stapes are set up, so that we have a movement ratio of 1.3:1. In other words, and I'm going to take a random number, if this moves 1 micrometer back and forth, this is going to move 1.3 micrometers back and forth. So we're going to get more movement here than we are getting here, and that is going to cause increased pressure on the oval window. So we're going to have a certain amount of pressure here, but the amount of pressure we get on that oval window is going to be greater. This is exactly what you want, because you want to move the fluid inside the cochlea the same amount. You want the same amount of vibration that we have inside the tympanic membrane, so that you can send an accurate signal to the brain via the cochlear nerve, or another name for this is the auditory nerve. So the first way to compensate for the fact that we have fluid in here is by having a movement ratio of 1.3:1 between the stapes and the malleus. That is the first way. Now let's talk about the second way. Here, once again, we have the tympanic membrane or the eardrum, and here we have the oval window. Now you will notice something about the size of the two. The tympanic membrane is larger than the oval window. To be more specific, it's approximately 18.6 times larger. Now, why is this significant? I'm glad you asked. Let's take a very graphic example. Let's say we have a surface here, and we're going to say that that surface is your leg. On top of that leg, we're going to put a block. Let's say we have a brick. What happens if someone comes along and decides they want to punch that brick with a certain amount of force? They punch that brick, it's on top of your leg, and you might say, ow, because it might hurt. I hope that makes sense. Now let's take a different situation where, once again, we have your leg, but instead of having a brick, we have, brace yourself, a needle. I know what you're thinking already, this is kind of crazy. Well, it is. Let's say a person comes by and they do the same exact thing. They come by and they punch that needle that's right on the surface of your leg with the same amount of force that they punched over here. Are you going to notice a difference in the amount of pressure? I'm betting that you will. This is going to hurt much more. The needle might go, well, most likely if they're punching, the needle is going to go into your leg, and you are going to scream. I don't care how strong you are, you are going to scream. Same amount of force as here. However, here you have an increased amount of pressure because you have a smaller area. So I'm going to write here, smaller area. This is not the situation that you want to find yourself in. However, in some cases, it can be a good thing. And here, the tympanic membrane being 18.6 times larger than the oval window, what that is going to do is cause an increased amount of pressure due to this vibration. And what's that going to do? Well, we said we have fluid inside the cochlea, air inside the eustachian tube and inside the outer ear, and we want to match the vibration out here, which is easy, with the vibration in here, which is harder because of the fluid. So once again, the two ways that impedance matching is accomplished, so that we can get an accurate amount of vibration inside the cochlea, is by having a ratio of 1.3:1 between the malleus and the stapes, and by having the tympanic membrane 18.6 who knows, I might even make a video to answer your specific question. Also, you can always visit the website at interactive-biology.com for more biology videos and other resources. That's it for now, and I'll see you in the next one.
Go ahead and put the headphones on now. Stick them all the way in. Deeper. Thank you.
Sense of hearing is accomplished by a process known as auditory transduction. The ear converts sound waves in the air into electrical impulses, which can be interpreted by the brain. As sound enters the ear, it passes through the external auditory canal, where it meets the tympanic membrane. The tympanic membrane then vibrates in response to the sound. Sounds of a lower pitch, or frequency, produce a slower rate of vibration. And sounds of lower volume, or amplitude, produce a less dramatic vibration. Higher frequency sounds produce faster vibrations. The tympanic membrane is cone-shaped and articulates with a chain of three bones called the auditory ossicles. They consist of the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. The movements of the tympanic membrane via the stapes, passing on the information of frequency and amplitude. Due to a series of ligaments which hold the bones in place within the middle ear cavity. The anterior malleal ligament and the posterior incutal ligament are of particular importance for the pivotal axis. Posterior structures which normally obscure this view of the middle ear have been removed from the axis. They are posterior tympani which normally obscure this view of the middle ear and the tendon of the tensor tympani muscle. They are posterior. Through the ossicles, the vibrations of the tympanic membrane are transferred to the foot plate of the stapes. Through the ossicles, the vibrations of the tympanic membrane are transferred to the foot plate of the stapes. Through the ossicles, the vibrations of the tympanic membrane are transferred. The stapes move the piston-like connection, which sends vibrations into a structure called the bony ladder. The stapes move the piston-like connection, which sends vibrations into a structure called the bony ladder. The labyrinth is filled with a fluid called perilymph. If it were a completely closed and inflexible system, the movement of the stapes would be unable to displace the perilymph. It closed their flexible system and vibration. The movement of the stapes structure would be unable. The perilymph. Due to the flexibility of the membrane called the down stapes structure, would be unable. The stapes movement can displace the perilymph, allowing vibrations to enter the down stapes structure. Would be unable. The stapes movement can displace the perilymph, allowing vibrations to enter the down stapes structure. Would be unable. The stapes movement can displace the perilymph. The membranes are flexible and move in response to the vibrations traveling over the cellular structure. A specialized structure is situated in the basal membrane. As the basal membrane vibrates, the organ of Golgi is stimulated, which sends nerve impulses to the brain. The actual nerve impulses are generated by specialized cells within the organ of Corti called hair cells. The hair cells are closely covered by a structure called the tectorial membrane. As the basilar membrane vibrates, the tiny clusters of hairs are bent against the tectorial membrane, triggering the hair cells to fire. The entire basilar membrane does not vibrate simultaneously. Instead, specific areas along the basilar membrane move variably in response to different frequencies of sound. Lower frequencies vibrate the basilar membrane closer to the apex of the cochlea, whereas higher frequencies produce vibrations closer to the base. This arrangement is known as tonotopic organization. Together, this sequence of events is responsible for our acoustic perception of the world around us.
doing a follow-up right now about the video that we posted 2 weeks ago about the high-pitched buzzing noise that you can hear in your ears if you're aware of it. Hey, see this? Those are high-tension wires, otherwise known as high voltage. That's the infrastructure. So I'm doing an experiment. And I'm definitely hearing the really, really loud sound. That are coming from that. Right underneath them now, so the energy field must be pretty strong compared to when we go farther away. So I hear it, you know, it is pretty loud, but there's a lot of outside noise. It's like this car driving by the highway. Thank you.
Can you imagine a world without sound? Can you imagine a world where you couldn't hear a tiptoe, or a popcorn, or a giggle? What a creepy, spooky, strange world that would be. Just like living on the moon. But our world is full of marvelous sounds. Shh. Listen.
Listen, listen, listen to a bluebird whistling. listen to crickets creeping along, singing a song for you. Bubbles,
blurbles,
blibbity bops, honks and gurgles,
clickety clacks and ring-a-ding-dings, everything sings to you.
You can hear cream puffs puffing away if you just give an ear.
Kettles of soup have lots to say whenever you are near.
So listen, listen, open up your ears and listen. Beautiful music, wonderful sound, waiting around, waiting for you to listen. To listen.
Listen. What's this?
Hello. I'm Neil Allen from Hudson, New York. You're listening to WGXE Acra 90.7 FM.
Info, music, signals, news, fun and frolic, and emergency instructions.
90.7 FM, WGXE.
Now, another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
Chicago Sun-Times reports that Dick Orkin, the man behind the Chicken Man radio serial and other shows, died December 24, 2017, in California. Quote, he had been struggling with health issues for a while and lately was on the mend, but Saturday night he had a stroke and Sunday evening he passed away, unquote, Lisa Orkin posted on Facebook. Quote, he was an incredible father and we all feel blessed that we had him in our lives as long as we did, unquote. Orkin, 84, created the Chicken Man radio series as a production director at WCFL in Chicago. The show, usually about 2 minutes long, featured a deadpan superhero who lacked any special powers. It started in 1966 and lasted into the 1970s, and was syndicated to more than 1,500 stations worldwide at one point. The character was the alter ego of a shoe salesman from Benton Harbor who fought crime in Midland City in a chicken costume. The show evolved the character to an environmental warrior in Chicken Man vs. the Earth Polluters, and finished up in 1977 as Chicken Man Returns for the last time again. In 1996, Orkin explained about the show, quote, I was never clear about what camp meant, except that I guess it had something to do with the sacredness of absolute values that, when extended to irrational limits, became just plain silly. Thank God I hadn't known camp was later considered a literary technique, or that would have killed the doing of it for me. This is Tom Rowe reporting for Waveform Radio and WGXC.
This is Midland City, sprawling metropolis with canyons of steel and neon tubing, with an 18-lane bowling alley, a nearly completed discotheque, and that's it.
Office of the Police Commissioner. Oh, yes, Mayor, he's in. Just one more. What? No, I don't mind. If you'd prefer that. One moment, Your Majesty. Commissioner.
Yes, I am.
It's the mayor calling.
How you doing, King?
This is Miss Hellfinger, your secretary.
Well, make up your mind.
The King is on the phone. He'd like your report on crime and or evil.
No, tell the King crime is up, evil is down.
Is that possible?
How about crime is down, evil is up?
That's going to be your report?
Mm.
That's how it's going?
Yes, it's going good.
Crime is going good?
Probably going to be one of our best years.
Anything else?
Yes, tell the King that if our present level of sin, debauchery, and gambling continues...
Uh-huh.
We'll have tourists coming out of our ears.
Okay, Commissioner.
Every night will be Saturday night.
Yes, fine.
It'll be a swinging...
Hello, Mayor. Your Majesty. The Commissioner regrets to report that crime has increased substantially and significantly in Midland City. What do you mean this is going to be a swinging town? Aren't you supposed to be against sin, debauchery, and gambling? No, I'm not some kind of a religious fanatic. Yes, Your Majesty. Just a moment, I'll ask him. Commissioner.
Yes, I am.
The Mayor.
Who?
The King wants to know if you have a suggestion for fighting the increase in crime.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
What we need is a special type of crime fighter.
And what type do you have in mind?
Oh, some kind of religious fanatic would probably